Hey everybody, and welcome to Mosaic House Online Worship. I'm your host, Pastor Victor. Hey, just a quick question. Don't think too hard, too much, don't overthink it. I'm not looking for your refined response, but rather your quick gut reaction, okay? Are you ready? When you think about your mom and dad, what do you appreciate about them? When you think about your parents, what honorable characteristic do you find? You ready? How about if I go first, okay? For me, my mom taught me how to survive, and my dad taught me how to love. My mom taught me how to become a fighter and go after things that are important in life. And my dad, he showed me how to love. I saw how my dad expressed his love towards mom, and I learned how to express love to others through my dad. So, what's your response? What honorable characteristic can you say about your mom and dad? Now, second question. It's the reverse. When you think about your parents, when you think about how they raised you up, okay, what comes to your mind when I ask the question, can you think of one thing that you really did not want to bring into your marriage because you saw how broken it was in theirs, in your parents? What is something that's dishonorable, a dishonorable characteristic about the way your parents parented you? For me, well, I hope mom and dad are not watching. Please do not send this video link to my mom and dad. For me, I think more than anything else, when they had conflicts, I didn't see how they resolved them in an amicable fashion. Now, listen, every marriage has conflicts. Every marriage, even good, excellent, great, healthy marriages, they all have conflicts. The question is not, will you have conflicts? But rather, the question is, how will you resolve them? So, growing up, we would see mom and dad argue and, you know, at times fight. But I never saw them how to reconcile the difference and how to come to peace and make things right. All of a sudden, they're fighting, they're not talking, and then the next day, everything's okay. And as a young child, I never saw how they went about from being in a broken relationship to a restored relationship. That's something that I really wish that I had seen, because what happened was, because of their broken marriage, that spilled into my relationship with mom and dad. How I related to them, to mom and to dad separately and differently, all that was impacted by their broken marital relationship. What is yours? Why am I asking these questions? The reason is, today we are grappling with the fifth commandment of the Ten Commandments. The fifth commandment, the Lord says, you shall honor your father and mother. And already, I know some of you are going, uh-oh, I don't want to listen to this because I got baggages. I got something happened in the past, and it really, really is hard for me. Friends, please, I've been praying about this. I've been praying for you. I may not even know who you are, but I believe. Father in heaven, our God and Lord, through the grace of Jesus Christ, He will offer you some form of grace. Okay? So before we proceed, would you pray with me? Let's pray. Lord God Almighty, Father in heaven, in the name of Christ, I pray, O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing and acceptable in thy sight. And I pray, O Lord, may you speak to everyone in this platform your words of grace, words of comfort, words of strength and courage, and words that will bring about true freedom. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen. Hey, friends, I really thank you for, and I commend you for, joining us on this online worship platform. May I just say one comment about worshiping online? Unlike in-person worship, I don't get to see you. In-person worship, there is relationship being developed. That's organic, authentic, and spontaneous. But with you, I don't see you. I don't even know who you are. I don't even know if you're there. So it really, really is a challenge for me to worship. Now, I worship every Sunday via online. I watch myself and I worship the Lord, and it would help me tremendously if I knew that you are here. So for my sake, but also for your sake, because worship is a communal activity. It's not, worship is always personal, but never private. It's a communal activity. And therefore, for my sake and for yours, would you write in the chat to say, let me know who you are and where you are worshiping from. I would appreciate that. I think you would too, because again, worship is communal, and I believe that this will honor the Lord as well, because we are worshiping together. Thank you so much for doing so. So write your name and say hi to me in the chat. Let me take you to the text. It is Exodus chapter 20, and we will read verses 1, 2, and then the fifth commandment. Hear the word of the Lord. And God spoke all these words, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. And verse 12, the fifth commandment, honor your father and mother, so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. Let's look at another passage. This is Ephesians chapter 6. The Apostle Paul takes the fifth commandment and he has the following revelation from the Lord. Very, very interesting. So intriguing. Hear the word of the Lord. Ephesians 6. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you, and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. And God's people said, Amen. Friends, I believe, as Pastor Jeremiah always says, I believe with all my heart that Jesus Christ, the risen Lord, the sovereign King, He wants us to know this truth. The theme and the goal is this. Jesus set you free for morality. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Creator, the Redeemer, the Sustainer of the entire universe and of you, He sets you free, He sets me free for what? For morality. Morality. I will unpack it. But first, here's the roadmap for this message. I want to answer with you four questions. Number one, what is the purpose of parenting? Number two, why should you honor your father and mother? And number three, how do you honor your father and mother as an adult child? And fourthly, probably the most difficult one. How do you honor your father and mother when they are not honorable? All right, so let's go to the first one. What is the purpose of parenting? Now, I was really thrilled by what I found in my research. According to the American Psychological Association, it spells out three primary purposes, goals for parenting. Are you ready? This is what they said. Number one, to ensure children's health and safety. Number two, to prepare children for life as productive adults. And number three, to transmit cultural values. Few comments on their definition. The American Psychological Association said these three goals as the primary purposes of parenting, not just in the USA, but in all countries. That caught my eyes. So this is something of a universal understanding as far as this organization is concerned to the primary purposes of parenting. The first two are very obvious, something that you and I can agree to very easily. Number one, parents, their goal is to ensure that the children are healthy and safe, obviously. I agree, you agree, good to go. Next goal, to prepare children for life as productive adults. As parents, you want to find out what their gifts are, what their passions are, and you want to raise them up and prepare them in such a way that they become independent, but also they become productive adults. Now, you agree to that, I agree to that, no problem. But what about the third one? Oh, you forgot what it says? The third goal, to transmit cultural values. That is a primary goal of parenting. To instill, to forge cultural values into the child. And already you are saying, hang on, I'm not sure about that one. And you're asking, well, whose values? In our culture, there are lots of different sets of values out there, right? We no longer live in a time and a place with people where we all say there is one set of cultural values. Values meaning what are things that we dear, what are the things that we hold so dearly, things that are so important, things that will bring about life into life, things that will flourish your life, things that will flourish, give peace and purpose and joy, make life what it's supposed to be, make life better. What are those values? Because there are so many different ways that people think about those values. Now, the word values, you could also replace that with morality. What is right? What is wrong? If you obtain or adhere to this set of morality, that will bring about flourishment to your life. Life that it was meant to be. Now, let's talk about that. So it says, you might say, cultural, to instill cultural values, what, according to whom? Whose values? The reason you ask that question is, the reason the third goal is so hard for us to accept is, so many people today, they believe that morality, values, they're not absolute. They are relative. There is no such thing as absolute morality or absolute values. There is no such a thing. Okay? Now, you may think that. Many people think like that. May I just offer two suggestions? The first suggestion is, may I appeal to your head. You are a thinking person, and therefore, let me reason with you using rationality and philosophy. The second appeal is, let me appeal to your heart. Let's see if I can get to your feelings and emotions and have you think personally. Okay, so first, the appeal to the head, the reason and the rationality. The moment you say there is no absolute values or absolute morality, what you're saying is there is, everything is relative, right? What is true for me is true for you. What is true for me is true for me. But there is no binding, agreeing set of values or morality. The opposite of relative morality, relative values, is absolute morality. Okay? That is to say, what is right and wrong, what is moral, transcends time, peoples, and places. What was right 5,000 years ago is still right today. So the absolute values, absolute morality, transcends time, peoples, and places. The moment you say there is no absolute morality, the moment you say everything is relative, you know what you've just said? You just made an absolute moral value statement. Did you catch that? I'm just appealing to your reason, okay? The moment anyone says there is no absolute morality, everything is relative, that is an absolute moral value statement. May I appeal to your heart? I read an article about an anthropologist who was an atheist who believed that there is no absolute morality. Everything is relative, right? So as an anthropologist, she went over all different parts of the world and she was studying how people, different peoples behaved, right? And before she went into those places, to those peoples, she always said to herself, listen, listen, you need to be impartial. What you believe is your belief. So she's saying this to herself. Don't you go into that parts of the world, to these peoples, and say, you shouldn't do that. Because she believed. In her head, everything is relative, right? But she went into these parts of the world, and I'm not going to tell you which country, and as an anthropologist, she was studying some of the behaviors of this group of people. And she was so appalled because this group of people, they were practicing female circumcision. And she cried out in her heart, this is not right. This is wrong. And then she caught herself. Uh-oh, I can't say that. But she knew in her heart that this was wrong. It doesn't matter whether she lived in the U.S. or this part of the world. She knew no human being should perform that act upon any woman. That is wrong, immoral, evil. She had a rude awakening. She came to a position where she said, there has to be an absolute morality. Because, listen, you and I, everyone agrees on the face of the earth that things aren't quite right. When you see an act of evil, when you see an act of immorality, you call it out, don't you? Hey, that is evil, that is wrong. The moment you make that statement, you know what you're saying? You have an idea. You have a standard by which you make that statement. You know something is right. You know something is good. You know something is moral. And when it's not, you call it evil and wrong. So therefore, when you detect an evil activity that assumes that you know what is right, and when you say you know what is right, then there has to be something out there beyond us who declared that there is this universal morality, the way how life is supposed to flourish. And how the life is supposed to thrive and bear fruit. In the words of Rabbi Zacharias, the moment you say there is something evil, then you know that something is right. You have a standard understanding of what that looks like. And the moment you say that, then there has to be the giver of that morality. Someone has instilled it in us. Someone has revealed it to us through the creation and through the scripture. In the book of Romans, the Lord says, he puts something in every human being's soul. He calls it conscience. Conscience. When the conscience was embedded into your soul and spirit, it became the moral compass. But because of the fall, because we have sinned and we have rebelled against that, that moral compass has become tainted, disrupted, corrupted. It doesn't work as well. And that's because, so that's why our moral compass, our understanding of what is right and wrong, has been skewed. So I want to go on to the next one. So the primary purpose, let me tie the bow here. The most important goal of parenting is to teach your children, teach your child what is right and what is wrong. That is the most important aspect. Yeah. Safety, health, of course. And developing their gifts and helping them become contributing individuals to society. Yes. But what good is a doctor whose morality has been corrupted and becomes an evil, selfish, self-serving physician? You don't want that. So therefore, the way God has intended for you. Now, for those of you who are parents, this is the ultimate purpose, to teach your child what is wrong and what is right. And then for you who may become parents in the near future, remember this. The number one, the primary, most important goal of your parenting is teaching your children what is right. And there are plenty of literatures and studies done that child grows in a healthy environment. It is good for the children when there are clear understanding of the teaching on morality. Second question. Let's go on. Why should you honor your father and mother? I begin alluding to that, but let's first unpack the word. What does it mean to honor? The word to honor in the Hebrew mind context, it literally means to be heavy. It means to have weight. That's what it means to honor someone. The root meaning of honor is to be heavy or weighty. So when you honor your parents, you treat them with weight and heaviness, as in with significance and importance. What they say, what they do matters because you honor them with weight. Quick illustration. Before my present wife, Une, agreed to marry me, so this is back in 1993. I'm sure of it. You want to bet? No. 1993. I was living in Michigan, Grand Rapids, and I called her parents in Korea. I said, I am going to come and pay you a visit. So I flew all the way over the Pacific Oceans and went to Korea. And at the time, I was really a poor, poor seminarian student. My clothes were all ragged and it was, they were all hand-me-downs. When I come to think of it, I still have hand-me-downs today too. But I flew all the way there and I went to the home of my wife's parents and I knelt before them and I asked for their blessing. Why did I do that? Because I wanted to honor them. I wanted them to know that they are weighty. What they think, what they say, their approval and their blessing are important to me, significant, heavy, weighty to me. So that's what it means to honor. So honor your father and mother, right? And the Lord says, because listen, there's a really interesting addition in Paul's writing. He said, honor your father and mother, for this is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Now, enjoy long life on the earth. It really means two, but most people think it's only one. It's a blessing that having a longevity was understood to be a blessing from God. At the same time, so that it may go well with you in the land. God wants to give them a reason. When you honor and father and mother, when you honor your father and mother, not only will you receive the benefits of that promise, but the land will prosper. Remember this. The land, the culture, the society will flourish as you honor your father and mother. And that's because the parent's job in the Bible, when you honor your father and mother, you receive their teaching with weight and heaviness. But teaching on what? Listen, question for you. This is the fifth commandment, right? Honor your father and mother. Then why does the Apostle Paul say, this is the first commandment with a promise? Now, one explanation I find is this. This is the first commandment. Now, again, it's the fifth commandment, but why does Paul call it the first commandment? Can he not add? Of course he could. Okay? I think what he's saying is, this is the first commandment that's going to lead everything else when the parents teach the child the Ten Commandments, and the child honors the parents by adhering to the teachings of the 10 steps to true freedom. That is the first commandment that's going to set everything to follow. The 10 commandments. What are they? I like to call them 10 steps to true freedom. The Bible never calls them commandments, but those 10 commandments, they bring about freedom. Because Jesus set you free for morality. Morality that will teach you, help you to live in the true freedom. So the first step in this true freedom. You shall have no other gods before me. Second, you shall not make for yourself an image, an idol. Third, you shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. Fourth, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. Fifth, honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. Six, you shall not murder. Seven, you shall not commit adultery. Eight, you shall not steal. Nine, you shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. And tenth, you shall not covet your neighbor's house or anything that belongs to your neighbor. Friends, those 10 steps to true freedom, those 10 commandments, you know what they are? This is the way through which God wants to make your culture, your society, your neighborhood, your schools, your nation flourish. Because this is how life was meant to be. Not to constrain you and take your freedom away. No, to give you true freedom. And I've been saying this all series long. True freedom, listen. True freedom is not the absence of constraints. True freedom is the presence of liberating constraints. May I give you an example? Some years ago, back in 2005, my brother, who was living in Ann Arbor, Michigan, his family was moving to Hawaii. Okay? Yeah, poor guy, eh? And he asked me, "Hey, bro, can you help me with the move?" I said, "Of course, you're my bro. What can I do? Anything, just say it, name it, I'll be there." He said, "I am driving a U-Haul truck all the way from Ann Arbor, Michigan to San Fran, California. And from there, he's gonna ship everything over to Hawaii. You follow?" Okay. So there we were. He and I were driving this 26-foot long U-Haul truck. And behind it, we were pulling a flatbed trailer upon which he was hauling his own vehicle. So that itself, the flatbed, is 20 foot long, and the truck was 26 feet long. So this was one long tandem caravan. Yeah. So there we were. Our goal was to leave Ann Arbor, Michigan, via Chicago, via New Mexico, and land in San Fran. You got it? It was supposed to be a three-day trip, 2,000 miles long, with the two of us, we're going to put in 12-plus hours of a day of driving. Okay? So we took off. We left Ann Arbor, Michigan, my hometown, Go Blue, and then about 30 minutes outside skirts of Chicago, we pulled in for gas. So I pumped the gas, okay? And my brother went and paid the money, and we were driving towards Chicago, and in about 15 minutes, something wasn't right. The truck was stalling, it was shaking violently. And then all of a sudden, as we were driving on the I-94, the Interstate 94 highway, this was a major artery, right? Okay. Lots of traffic. The truck stopped on the freeway. So we had to pull over on the shoulder with this long 26-foot truck with a 20-foot long trailer behind. Oh my goodness. And it stopped the traffic, and people were raising their fists at us and calling us names. And you know what happened? You know what happened? Can I tell you what happened? Can you keep it a secret? I don't want people to know. When I was pumping gas at the gas station, This truck is only for diesel. But instead, I poured 100 liters of unleaded. My brother took out the manual. He said, Victor, diesel only. That's what the manual says. The manufacturer, the designer of the truck, diesel only. And my brother took my ear like this and brought me to the gas cap. Look what he says. Diesel only. What were you thinking? Well, I made a mistake. And there was a traffic jam in everywhere. Now, here's my point. Suppose I said, hey, I'm not going to be dictated by the manual. I'm free. I get to decide what's right for me. I get to pick my own morality. I get to decide what makes life tick. What makes life worth living? What makes life flourishing? I'm going to decide that. Then if I do that, apart from the manual instruction, apart from the designer and the manufacturer, guess what's going to happen? If you drink diesel when you're made for, sorry, if you drink unleaded when you're meant for diesel, you as a truck, you don't got a chance. So therefore, these Ten Commandments, they liberate you. Do they constrain you? Do they say, don't put unleaded? Yes, yes, yes. But when you stick to the manual, when you stick to the design, how you're supposed to thrive, then you will be one mean U-Haul truck. So the Ten Commandments, they don't show you how to become a free people. Instead, rather, the Ten Commandments show you how free people live. Did you catch that? Listen, the whole thing starts with God saying, I am the Lord your God, who set you free from Egypt, from the slavery of the bondage of slavery. I set you free. Therefore, now, live according to these 10 steps. You don't observe the Ten Commandments to become free. Rather, God set you free in Jesus. First and foremost, this is grace. Before you did any obeying at all, God set you free from Jesus Christ. And as free people, this is how you live. So the Ten Commandments, they don't show you how to become a free people. They show you how free people live. And this is why the Fifth Commandment is the first commandment with a promise. Listen to your parents as they teach you the true, absolute morality, how things were life to live. Live on diesel. Don't put unleaded in your life. And also, why should you honor your father and mother? Because your parents, as they instill these values of morality, they represent the Lord himself. God placed your parents in the place of authority over you so that they may infuse these values that give you true freedom. And that's why you should honor your father and mother. Number three point. How do you honor your father and mother as an adult child? Some of you are saying, well, I'm not a child anymore. I have grown up and I have moved out and I have moved on. I'm an adult. I no longer am and under my parents' tutelage or their shaping of my values. So allow me to be very practical. Okay? Just practical ideas. Okay? As an adult, one way, here's the following ways how you may honor your parents. Number one, spend time with them. My dad, more than anything else, he would like me to spend time with him. Number two, be a good listener. Be a good listener. Okay? When my mom talks, I just bite my tongue and I listen patiently. It's one way that I know how to honor my mom and dad. Number third, seek from them. Say, Mom and Dad, since I honor you, since I treat you with weight, would you give me a counsel, a recommendation? guide and lead me in this decision-making process. Fourth, express appreciation. Express appreciation. I often said to my mom and dad, when you were raising us up, knowing what you had, having what you had, I think you did the best with us. And for that, I do thank you and appreciate you. Fifth, provide for them. As your parents age, they will rely on you more. So provide. Provide for them in a way that is feasible to you. And lastly, pray for them. Pray for them. That is a great way for you to honor your parents. Now, but more than anything else, let me just add one more thing. I believe the best way for you to honor your father and mother is by instilling the values you learn from them to the next generation. I think that's the best way to honor your father and mother. As they train you up in the Lord Jesus Christ, as they raise you up, as you experience living in Jesus gives you true freedom, pass that on to the next generation. Next generation. Let me get to the last point. This is the most difficult one. How do you honor your father and mother when they are not honorable? They have misused and abused their office. They are not worthy of your honor. Not only have they failed to instill these moral values in you, they did something far worse. They may have abused you, mistreated you, hurt you profoundly. And the question is, how do you honor your father and mother when this is what they have done to you and against you? Friends, I'm going to choose my words very selectively because my guess is whatever I say is going to be really hard for you to receive. So bear with me. You honor them by becoming forbearing and forgiving. You forbear, you overcome by the grace of Christ your hurts and your wounds. Apart from them, even though they may not have apologized or repented, you forbear by you going to your God in heaven, who is your Father in heaven. You forbear. Second, learn to forgive. I know this is so hard. You will require the help of the Holy Spirit. You will require amazing, amazing feat of strength and courage. But your Heavenly Father in the Lord Himself says, child, forgive them as I have forgiven you. Forgive them for their wrongdoing. Because as you forgive them, that healing process, that freedom will start to bloom and prosper and grow. And maybe one day you may experience a true freedom. Let me end with this. Through Jesus Christ, you become a child of God. And there's only one true, perfect parent, and that's our Father in heaven, Heavenly Father, the Lord Himself. When He adopts you through the person of Christ, through the works of Jesus Christ, He welcomes you in. And He is the perfect parent. He will dispense truth gracefully, and He will envelop you with truth gracefully. He is always, always perfectly balanced. Will you come to Him as your Father in heaven? And you can do that through Jesus Christ. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, our God and Lord, so simple and yet so difficult. The simple instruction, honor your father and mother. And yet, it's very hard to do. It's hard to give for the parents too, Lord. They are living in a time of confusion and chaos. People say, whose values? Whose morality? There is no such thing as absolute truth or absolute morality. So I pray for the parents. May they know, understand, and grasp the blessing that you are giving to them through the Ten Commandments. And Lord, not only will we be blessed, bless our city, bless our neighborhoods, bless our schools, bless our nations, bless the world as we adhere and live in this true freedom. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen.